Well, it's been a pleasure to be here with Carlton and Catherine. They're staying with us, or actually they're staying with Bill and Janice Neumeyer, but we're all out there together. And we've enjoyed many hours of fellowship and Bible discussions. And I know we'll be looking forward to his talk. And I think it's an important one. I think if we listen closely, we're going to hear some things that will probably help us in our Christian walk. He has titled his topic, The Malignant Work of Satan. The Malignant Work of Satan, Brother Carlton.
Thank you, Brother John, and Brother, for that prayer, Brother Anderson. Brethren, we're closing in on the end of this convention, which none of us like to see happen, but soon we'll be going back to our individual classes and going back out into the world once again. And we have much that we can take with us, be thankful for, since we've been here. We want to thank especially the class here in Red Deer. There are a very short few brethren here, but they have made a wonderful convention for us. And we want to thank them for it, the Baumgarten family and the Neumeyer family. We want to thank Janice and Bill especially for their love shown to us as we have been staying with them these last few days. And it's been a blessing to have Brother John Freer with us as well, because we've had further fellowship with him and we get to know each other better. Why talk about Satan? What do we know about Satan? What is he up to? What has he been doing? We read in chapter 3 of Genesis, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat. And she gave it unto her husband with her, and he did eat." And so sin entered the world. All of us as Bible students know that we have three main adversaries to battle in our daily Christian life. These three, of course, have been designated as the world, the flesh, and the adversary, or Satan. And all of us here really know that all three are bound up in Satan. Our thoughts today then will center around our adversary, Satan. Who is this one called Satan? Was this his name to start with? What was his work? What are our responsibilities towards this one? And we'll start by asking the question, what do we mean by the term malignant work? Well, this word malignant means to be inclined to cause harm, suffering, or distress. And yet there's a second meaning as well, very dangerous or harmful in influence or effect, tending to produce death, cancerous, or to be invasive. There are 54 references in our Bible, Old and New Testaments, which use the name Satan. And these words from Strong's Concordance, number 7854 in the Old Testament, has the meaning of opponent, arch enemy of God, or arch enemy of good, an adversary. And then from the New Testament, Strong's Concordance number 4567 has the meaning of accuser. Now there are other words for this being other than Satan. In Revelation 20, verses 1 and 2, we read, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon." Here's another word. That old serpent. We've been talking about a serpent, which is the devil. And he's called Satan. And he bound him 1,000 years. King James Version. Now, these words, dragon, serpent, and devil, are just other descriptions for this being. And we'll talk about them a little later as we go along. Who is this one? Well, actually, in Genesis 3:1, we have the one, as we have read, called the serpent who tempted Eve. Now, the word serpent from the Hebrew text gives the meaning to whisper, or to be an enchanter. Also, meaning to learn by experience. And this last meaning is important because Eve did learn by experience the meaning of good and evil. You know, this one is so subtle in his ways of being that he uses half-truths. Half-truths. And so, here we find he used a half-truth. First of all, he said, "You will not surely die." And then he turns around and said, you will know what good and evil is. And certainly that part is the truth. Eve did learn experience the meaning of good and evil. But was this serpent in the Garden of Eden Satan? Now, we believe personally that the serpent was used by Satan, but that was not his name. Who then was this one? Well, we need to go further on in the Old Testament to get our answers. And all Bible students are very, very familiar with these texts. But when you stop to think as we go on in our talk this morning, who we're dealing with, it really is scary. In Ezekiel 28, verses 12 to 19, we read these words. "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, and every precious stone was thy covering, sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." Thou art the anointed cherub that covers. I have set thee so. You, speaking of this one, was upon the holy mountain of God. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. I thought it was kind of interesting. I talked to a brother not too long ago, and I said, have you any thoughts on these stones of fire? And his thought was, at that time, that these stones might represent the stars, the various stars, indicating, in his mind at least, that perhaps this divine, or not divine, this spiritual being had a job working among what we classify the stars of today. Perfect in the ways that you were created from the day that you was created until iniquity was found in you. And by the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and you have sinned, and therefore I will cast you out as profane from the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Now thy heart was lifted up because of your beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness, and I will cast you to the ground, and lay you before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, and by the iniquity of thy traffic. And therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it will devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. This is the King James Version. Then the next Old Testament text we'd like to read is found in Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Now we get his name. This one who walked among the stones of fire. This one who was beautiful in every way until iniquity was found in him. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Now, before we go any further here, we'd like to bring the meaning of the word Lucifer to our attention. Reading from Unger's Bible Dictionary, the name of Lucifer. Hebrew word Heliel, or brightness. This designation refers to Satan. Now, this is from Unger, so this is a Bible translator here talking. And is the King James Version rendering of the New American Standard Bible, Star of the Morning. That is, bright star. Isaiah 14, 12 to 14. Probably what we call the morning star. So, says NIV, as a symbolical representation of the king of Babylon in his pride, his splendor, and his fall. The passage goes beyond the Babylonian prince and invests Satan, who, at the head of this present world system, is the real, though invisible, power behind the successive world rulers of Tyre, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and of Rome. Now, this far-reaching passage goes beyond human history and marks the beginning of sin in the universe and the fall of Satan and the pristine sinless spheres before the creation of man. Similarly, Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 28:12-14, under the figure of the king of Tyre, likewise traces the fall of Satan and the corruption of his power and glory. Unquote. This is from Unger's Bible Dictionary again. Now, when we get to know a little about the title, Satan, and his real name here, Ezekiel uses the metaphor of the king of Tyre. The name Tyre means adversary. This king was an adversary to Israel, but a real adversary is Satan. Looking back, we see this king of Tyre was never in Eden, the garden of God. Then who was in the garden? Well, Isaiah 14 tells us it was Lucifer, who was appointed by God Almighty himself to watch over the first pair and over all in the garden there. Lucifer was full of wisdom, and every precious stone was his covering. And then going on, we see that he was this one called the anointed cherub that covers. Cherubs were the highest of spiritual beings, and Lucifer was to be the guardian over Eden. It was God who gave Lucifer this job. This heavenly being was perfect until iniquity was found in him. And then it was said he was cast out of heaven under the earth. Ezekiel tells us also that this one will eventually, thank God for this, my dear brethren, will be destroyed. But more about that later. And about his being cast out of heaven, we read, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Luke 10:18. Now we know who Lucifer was and how his name was changed to Satan. Satan, an adversary of God and Christ and all allied with Christ. Earlier we had said that there were other titles given to Lucifer other than the title of Satan. There was dragon and serpent. In Revelation 20, verse 2, we have these two mentioned again. And Strong's Concordance number 1404, Strong's 1404, for dragon has the meaning of a fabulous kind of serpent, meaning to look. This is similar to the serpent in Genesis, yet in one respect totally different. We said earlier that the snake in the Genesis was used by Lucifer in the deception to Eve and was an enchanter. That means to place under a spell, to utterly captivate. This surely is what Satan did to Eve. And now we see the serpent in Revelation means to look or to consider. Yes, Satan wants all to consider him and his power. Therefore, he is like a serpent. In the New Testament, there is another word for serpent, the Greek word opis, meaning sharpness of vision, sly, or cunning. Let's look at the word devil. In Revelation 20, verse 2, this word devil has the meaning of false accuser or slanderer. We find this thought of false accuser in the book of Job. For Satan said to God, you know, you put a hedge around Job and his house and all of his goods. You have blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land. Yes, certainly God did allow Job to increase his goods. But to falsely accuse God of protecting Job is another thing. The one thing God did do, of course, was to keep Satan from killing Job. But he allowed him to lose all of his goods, his family, and finally, he allowed Satan to bring boils upon him. But God knew Job's integrity. Proverbs 10:18 reads, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that utters a slander is a fool." Now there are actually 16 different names for Satan. We'll only go into a few to show the malignant work of this one. The first is Abaddon, or Apollyon, meaning destroyer. Next is adversary, meaning opponent or arch enemy. Next is Belial, worthless, destruction, wickedness. Deuteronomy 13:13, 1 Kings 21:10. 1 Kings 21:10, Deuteronomy 13:13. And in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 6:15, 2 Corinthians 6:15, worthlessness. Then there is Beelzebub from Matthew 12:24, dung god, murderer, John 8:44, meaning to kill. Wicked one, Matthew 13:19. Hurtful, evil in effect or influence. There are many other names for Satan, but these we have looked at show his true character. Let's look now at Satan's malignant work. Lucifer wanted to be like God. Can we ever imagine probably the second created being, our Lord being the first in heaven, suddenly being given everything, being beautiful and having authority and a work among the stars of God, perhaps. That's a perhaps. I don't know that that's the meaning of stones of fire, but it's a good thought, I think. Yes, this one, Lucifer, wanted to be like God himself. And since his fall, he has been trying to kill the seed, Christ and his Christ followers. Shortly after Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, Satan used King Herod to try to fulfill his plan to kill him. Herod became troubled because wise men had come from the east saying to the king that one was to be born king of the Jews. And this bothered the king. And he asked the wise men to find out where Jesus was born and report back to him. Matthew 2:1-3. And after they had followed the star, they found the house where Jesus was staying with his parents and brought him gifts. Matthew 2:11. God intervened by sending his angel to Joseph and told him in a dream to take the child and flee to Egypt because Herod would come to kill the child. Stay in Egypt until God sends him word. And so Joseph did just that, taking the child and his mother and departed into Egypt. And there they were until the death of King Herod. Matthew 2:13-15. Herod, seeing he was mocked, sent out a decree to kill all the male babies in Bethlehem and in all the coasts from 2 years and under. Matthew 2:16. This was in fulfillment of the prophet Jeremiah from Jeremiah 31:15. Satan had made his first attempt to kill Jesus. The second attempt is found in Matthew 8:28-9:1. And there we read, "And when Jesus was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one might pass that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" They knew who he was, these demons. That's a whole different story. We won't have time to go into it. "Have you come hither to torment us before the time?" And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils brought him, saying, If you cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. What has this got to do with trying to kill Jesus? And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything, and what was befallen to the possession of those possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Satan thought, here's a good way. Get rid of this productive herd of swine, and the people will kill Jesus. They didn't kill. He just asked him to leave their coasts. Yes, who were these demons that had asked him? Matthew 8:29, Son of God, are you going to torment us before the time? Well, this word torment has several meanings, but Thayer's Greek lexicon gives us the right thought. The word torment means to test. These demons were the fallen angels. In 2 Peter 2:4, we read about the angels that sinned, that God cast them down to Sheol, delivering them into chains of darkness, the darkness of this earth, to be reserved unto judgment. The angels that sinned were those of Genesis 6:1-7. And again in Jude 6:6 we read, Jude 6:6, the angels that kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, the heavenly realm, He hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Now these angels were now called demons or devils in Matthew 8:29. The word devils means supernatural spirits of a bad nature. This is where Satan used these devils to try to kill our Lord. You cast us out of these men, allow us to go into the herd of swine. And Jesus did allow them, and the herd ran into the sea and were destroyed. Certainly it was Satan's desire that the owners of the swine would kill Jesus, but they didn't. And so Satan is also trying to kill all those who have come into Christ. All of you, brethren, including myself. In Matthew 10, Jesus' words to the 12 point out that all in Christ will suffer persecution and perhaps even death. However, Jesus said, Fear not those that can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Matthew 10:28. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Matthew 10:30. So what is the malignant work of Satan? Satan tries every way to destroy Christ's disciples. He uses the tongue as a major weapon. If Satan can get us to slander one another, to use unholy words and practices, he will try very hard. All those in Christ know the power of the tongue. It is best not to say anything at the time of trial. And Psalms gives us the direction we should go when Satan tries to get us to slander and to use bad language. Psalms 39:1. I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked is before me. Now, this word muzzle has the thought of keeping silent. This will take much experience for all of us, dear brethren. Much experience in prayer. It will be very, very hard not to say something when we are tried by the adversary. But Satan will not give up, especially if he knows the tongue is our weak point. What is another? Well, someone has recently given us a thought on the toolbox of Satan and this special tool that was laid to one side, and one asked, what is this tool? And he says, it is the tool of discouragement. Yes, another malignant work of Satan is discouragement. We have often become discouraged because of either illness or other things that have happened in our life. And we feel sometimes that God doesn't even answer our prayers. Proverbs 13:12 reads, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it becomes a tree of life. Sometimes God withholds from answering our prayers to test us on our faith. Yes, test us on our faith. Christians are not to ask God to relieve them from sickness, but to give us the strength to go through this sickness. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Psalms 40, verse 1. Again we read, for our light affliction is for a moment, but works for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4 and 17. Satan will try every which way to discourage God's people. When Job was going through his misery, his so-called friends tried to get him to believe that he was the one at fault. And Job answered and said, I know your thoughts and the devices which you wrongfully imagine against me. Job 21:27. We note here that Satan used his friends to blame him for his misery. And again we read, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Psalms 37, verse 7. Now Satan uses many devices against us. But we're not ignorant of his devices, 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. Another malignant work of the adversary is to get the Lord's people to fight against one another. Oh, yes, he will certainly do that. We read, if a man say, I love God, and yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother, whom he has seen, how? And he loved God whom he hath not seen. Yes, this is the commandment have we from him, that he who loves God will love his brother also. And that comes from 1 John 4. 20 and 21. Now, going back to 1 John 4:14, we read, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And he that loves not his brother still abides in death. Whosoever hates his brother is called a murderer. And we know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Another of the malignant devices of Satan is patience. Lack of patience, another Satan's device. I believe that lack of patience is one of the deadliest of Satan's devices. And then we read, in your patience possess you your souls. Luke 21 and 19. Luke 21:19. And again in James 1:4, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. The lack of patience may become the very stumbling block that will keep us from entering into the kingdom. How easy to be impatient with the traffic, those who tailgate, those who speed. How easy to be impatient with our brethren who see things a bit different than we do. You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Hebrews 10:36. With Satan, it was pride that caused his downfall. I will be like God. And what do the scriptures say about pride? Pride goes before destruction. Proverbs 16:18. Proverbs 16:18. And what is this word pride? It means arrogance, a swelling up, to increase. And God says he hates pride, arrogance, and every evil way. Proverbs 8:13. Proverbs 8:13. There are 13 things mentioned in Mark, the 7th chapter, Mark 7:20-23, that proceed out of the hearts of men, and one of them is pride. Pride is to be proud, appearing to be above others. And all of God's people need to be sure that none of these permeates the heart, because they will surely end in death. We want to always take a good look at the life of our Lord and then search our hearts, that Satan gets no hold upon us. Let's be sure that we sweep out all leaven from our hearts. Leaven is sin in any degree, and like dough, it will cause a swelling up to take place. We find that the Israelites were to eat unleavened bread for 7 days and were to put away all leaven from their homes. Satan introduced leaven to the nation of Israel when they left Egypt. First, he put fear into their minds that God had brought them out of Egypt to be overcome by the Egyptians. And next, he introduced leaven by complaining about the lack of water. Next, the people complained about the lack of food. And finally, Satan caused the people to rebel against Aaron when Moses was in the mount. And God then took the Levites unto himself, and 3,000 men were slain. Exodus 32:28. Satan would put fear into our hearts. Here's another malignant work. However, we are not to fear what man can do unto us, for we read, the fear of man brings a snare, but who puts his trust in the Lord will be safe. Proverbs 29:25. Proverbs 29:25. And again in Psalms 56:4, Psalms 56:4, in God will I praise his word, in God I have put my trust, I will not fear what flesh could do unto me. We trust in the living God. Man has thought that we should fear God, but we know differently. God is a God of love. 1 John 4:16, 1 John 4:16, 18 and 19. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. For God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. There is no fear in love. That's my birthday text. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. And he that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. What are our responsibilities then, dear brethren, to the malignant work of Satan? Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. James 4, verses 7 and 8. James 4, 7 and 8. Again, we read, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that you may see. For as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, in these two texts, we have a responsibility to resist the devil. And if we are fully submitted to God, the devil will not be able to come into our weak points. We are not stronger than Satan, that is true, but we must exercise will power. I will not allow you to test me along this line. Leave me, Satan. We are to buy this gold tried in fire. Yes, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, and persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. 2 Corinthians 12:10. So, knowing Satan's malignant devices, all of those in Christ need to be very diligent in resisting him. Soon the new creation will be complete and Satan will be bound and finally destroyed. Revelation 20 and 2 and 10. Let us be very diligent to resist the devil. It's been a blessing to be with you, brethren, this weekend. And again, we thank the Red Deer class here for putting this convention on and for all of their love shown to us. And may the Lord bless each of you as we leave this place.